Welcome, ladies, to our Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 once again. And today we're doing the lesson 8, Keepers at Home. Just before we pray, this is a session on home working women. And I know that some of you ladies out there are already at work for whatever reason. And look, I don't understand all the details of why you're there. Some of you don't want to be there. Your husbands are sick. There's all kinds of scenarios. So, you know, if you're in that situation, I don't want this to be discouraging or hard on you or harsh on you. The fact is, you've just got to work it out with the Lord. I know that there's so many varying situations. All you can do is pray it through and ask the Lord to help you as much as is possible, maybe to do home working in some way or be able to change something. But anyway, we can't cover everything today. It's not possible. And sometimes women work with their husband at home or out of the home. They work alongside their husband, which is so much better than working with someone else's husband. But even there, the husband would need to be very careful that that doesn't override what God has made you to be, and that is a keeper at home. And if you're going to fail in those duties, well, then you're going to be running into strife. All right, we'll go ahead now and we'll just have a word of prayer. Dear Father, we just come to you now, Lord, and ask your blessing upon this study. Father, we just thank you for your word, which is so clear. And I pray, dear Father, now that you would just come to us by your Spirit and teach us, dear Father, the truths that you have for us today. We ask this in your name. Amen. Keepers at home. What happens when married women become keepers at work? Titus 2, verses 1 to 5. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviour as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, I've skipped over discreet and chaste, but we'll go back to that. But today we're doing part one of Keepers at Home, and then next time we'll do part two. Now, by introduction, the Bible teaches us that our divine calling as women is a vocation, keeper at home. And what I'm going to go into here is the actual Hebrew that's used. Now, I've been thinking about it. Why is it that we have to sort of prove this passage today? And it's because really we've got a rather hostile audience. And why do we have a bit of a hostile audience to this passage in Titus 2, which deals with things like keepers at home and submission? And I thought, well, it's because what's out there it has changed. The culture's changed. The moral climate's changed. Go back 50 years, 100 years ago, and you talked about being a keeper at home as women, they'd say, oh, very good, move on. Yeah, there wouldn't need to be anything really explained or said. It was understood. If you talked about gender distinction 100 years ago, it was distinct. So you can see what happens. What if you talked about media? You wouldn't need to talk about media because there wasn't media. So you can see that really as Christians, when we start reacting to the Bible, we have to stop and think, why? Why is that? It's because what's outside of the Bible has changed. And so now you're preaching into a situation which we don't like to admit. The world outside exerts a great pressure on us to conform to it, much more than we want to give credit. But anyway, nevertheless, we'll go on and explain that keepers at home, very complex, but keepers at home means just that. The word keeper at home comes from a compound Greek word, oikorgos, I don't know how to say it, which is made up of oikos, house or home, and ergos, work. Similar compound words are used in the Bible for other vocations. So here we've got husbandman and vine dresser, or the dresser of his vineyard. The word husbandman, John 15:1, is the word gorgas, which is made up of GE, earth or land, and ergos, work, that is, a land worker or a farmer. Just a similar compound word as the keepers at home. The word the dresser of his vineyard, Luke 13:7, is the word ampelorgos, which is made up of ample, vine, and ergos, work, that is, a vineyard worker. From this study, we see that the husband works at the farm, the vine dresser works at the vineyard, and the Titus 2 woman works at home. Each of these compound words denotes a specific vocation. If you're a keeper at the prison, where would you be? At the prison. If you're a keeper at home, where would you be? At home. It's not complex, but we make it complex. Many women are deleting this passage of scripture from their lives. I thought to myself, it's like Titus 2, 1 to 5, has just been resected from the Bible. Women aren't, you don't hear it being spoken about, you don't hear it being preached about, you don't hear women talking about it, it's just sort of, don't talk about it. Some Christians, I just read that. Revelation 22 verses 18 to 19 state, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." It's serious, isn't it? God sees it so seriously when we, perhaps not literally but mentally, remove some scripture. Now, our modern versions sure don't help on this matter. The NKJV uses the word homemaker. The New International Version, to be busy at home. International Standard, to manage their households. Amplified, homemakers. The Message, which is a disgusting display. Keep a good house, whatever that means. Now, those corrupt scriptures do not help in many other areas too. I mean, you really need to know that the Bible you have is the Word of God. And our King James Version Bible here clearly puts it as it is, keeper at home. Or literally, also reading waste, home working. It's home, that's the key. Because really, it's not a matter of do women work or, you know, are we to work or not. It's where are we to work, once we're married women, of course. We're talking about married women here. Now, God's word hasn't changed, and the Lord hasn't changed, has he? He's the same yesterday, today, forever. It's as I was saying, God didn't have the foresight for the 21st century when he wrote this passage. This is, of course, not true. God hasn't changed, and nor has his word. It's really what we're saying. Because when we look at passages like women not leading in the church and women being keepers at home and women being submissive, think, why didn't the Lord see down the road and see that that just wouldn't fit? Well, it doesn't fit because we've deteriorated. Our culture gives these kind of reasons for married women to work out of the home. Okay, here's just some of the excuses. Married women can't afford not to go to work, nothing to do at home, they're bored, that's tragic. I can be a helpmeet to my husband this way. I like the money. Children need private school, so need money. I like my career and shouldn't have to give it up. I can have some financial independence. And there's lots of others. And some, as I said before, where you feel like you're stuck there and there's all sorts of reasons. The culture must be subservient to the Word of God. And when we look around, we need to always check the Bible to see how does that culture fit with here in the scriptures. And some of our missionaries, when they travel, they take note. In some countries, there's certain traits they see and certain cultures. And when you line them up with the scripture, they have to be preached out and say, look, this is not how you treat your wives, this is not how you deal with children, etc., etc. And we need to do the same. Our culture here in this country is going downhill fast. We're losing culture, and we're losing the wonderful culture of the family, the wonderful culture of the church. Well, it's a doctrine, really. All these matters are. They're very serious. And so Satan wants to destroy them. Now, here, what I'm going to do today is explain in this session what are the consequences of married women working outside the home. And then the next session, which will be a lot happier session, will be what happens when the woman works inside the home. And that's wonderful. There's just, we've lost the art of home. But hopefully we can look into some really good things there. Well, first of all, she violates scripture, and these are the results. She will suffer spiritually. That's the first thing we need to put on the list here. And you know how hard it is, looking at these areas I've got listed here, how hard it is to keep your quiet time regular and meaningful, your prayer life, reading of the scripture, reading good Christian books, listening to sermons, time to meditate on spiritual matters. And you do need, women need silence, and they need to be able to think about the word and think about the Lord, and the Spirit of God, you know, germinates thoughts in our minds. She comes under destructive temptation as she is out. I've skipped. Back we go. Where did I go to? Oh no, she suffers spiritually. Okay, time to meditate on spiritual matters. Comes under destructive temptations as she is out of her place. And then there's a dulling effect on her biblical absolutes in the work environment. She finds her behaviour changing. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, why does she change when she goes out to the workforce? Well, up to 40 hours in an environment which certainly is not most times going to be conducive spiritually. I mean, it's not likely to be a Christian situation. Reasons for this change: men and women's workplace gossip. Up to 40 hours of unchristian influence. Hearing deceit, lying and swearing, etc. Workplace social events, you could be very compromised getting involved in those. Attitudes of women towards men at the workplace and divorce talk of women. Those two, oh my. Talking with women that have been in the workforce. Sadly enough, women divorce men and then they go into how they went about it, how relieved they are, they've done it and all that kind of thing. And men, more and more, men are evil. That's just a basic premise out there. They're evil brute beasts. And it's not true. But with the way society is displaying womanhood, it's turning men into brute beasts. She's unfulfilled. Now, why would that be? Well, because she must know her place and be in it. None of us are actually happy unless we're fulfilling the God-given role or fulfilling the plan that he has for us. So if, as married women, we can do all these other things, but if we aren't actually in the home, we actually won't feel as fulfilled, and God won't be able to develop us as he actually wants to. Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, or his place, it means. But the folly of fools is deceit. I will therefore that the younger women marry, 1 Timothy 5:14, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. We'll never be fulfilled as women when we are not doing what we are created for. If each person in the body of Christ knows his gifts, his place, and fulfills it, the church life flourishes, and you've seen that, haven't you? The same applies to the man and woman knowing their role and place in the home and doing it. If we're out of our place, taking someone else's place, or clashing with their place, then God's plan is thwarted and not fulfilled. As an older woman, she's not able to teach the young women because she's not home. I mean, that's basic. If you're going to be teaching younger women to be keepers at home. You've got to be home yourself. And then as a younger woman, she cannot be guided by the older woman because she's not home. She's under the guidance of other older women. Number four, she puts her marriage at risk. Now, this is a huge one. If I could ask for a display of hands in any given audience, how many people know of a scenario where the boss went off with someone else's wife? I think every hand would go up. They are a dime a dozen. It's epidemic proportion, and it's getting worse. And I'll be quoting an article later on, and I couldn't go through all the reading I've done, but oh, the stats out there are just very worrying. We only have one way that we're heading, and it's down. In this country and in the United States and other places, of course, right around the world. She develops an independent spirit towards her husband when she goes to work. I mean, naturally, she's just going in another direction and earning her own money and etc., etc. The sheer fatigue can cause her problems in her marriage. A woman can't be both provider and homemaker at the same time and fulfill these roles well. Someone needs to be the homemaker. A good recipe for having marriage troubles is both husband and wife be working full time. And then at the end of the day, you'll both land home and get each other's leftovers. And if there's children, you'll all land home and get each other's leftovers. And it's really hard not to be chaotic in that situation. God's made it. See, God is loving and omniscient, and he knows what's best for us. And he knows that if a woman's at home, then when the husband returns home, things are in order. She's not overly stressed. She's in her place, and she's busy, but she is in her place, and things have a hope of running smoothly. But when you take 40 hours out of that woman's life that she hasn't got those 40 hours to put into her home, that's huge. I mean, any working woman knows it. If you leave work and you suddenly have those 40 hours at home, wow. You think, how was I doing it before? Well, something always gives. The workplace is a lure. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You think, well, I have no desire to sin against my husband, and my husband has no desire to sin against me. That is not the point at all. The point is that Satan has a desire for you to fall and for you to sin, and he will orchestrate it in any way he can. And when you put yourself in the workplace, you're giving him a lot of fuel. In the appendix, Mary Eberstadt writes of the cultural shift in America from women at home to women in the workforce. This lady is a secular author and researcher focusing on issues in American society, culture and philosophy. The lady that sent me this article believes that this woman is a Catholic lady, so we're not quoting a Christian here. And I thought it's of value to put it in just to communicate the fact that it's not just Christian folk that are worried, but secular people, other religions. She works as an author. Did I just read that? I just did, didn't I? This lady, did I just do that, Lydia? Did I just read that? Okay, in the appendix, yeah. Mary Eberstadt writes of the cultural shift in America from women at home to women in the workplace. This lady is a secular author and researcher focusing on issues in American society, culture and philosophy. She makes the observation that material constraints do not account for the alarming maternal absenteeism from the home. It's not just financial. More than half the women would still go to work if finances were adequate. More than half. So it's not just all money. Women prefer the managed cheer of the workplace to the sometimes less certainty of home. It is a controlled environment. You go into the chemist and everyone's bubbling and all dressed up, and you know, it's an artificial bubble. So that's, you can kind of slot in, you do the one thing. My at home, you haven't got all that kind of artificial cheer or whatever. You've got little people, phone, you know, you're multitasking, you're doing all sorts of things, and it's not as, not always as certain as what the workplace can be. But of course, what do women say when they're at work? Can't wait to get home. It's so silly, isn't it? And really, the women that are home are really the only free ones. They can sit down and have a cup of tea usually when they want to, and you know, they can adjust things a great deal and not usually have to miss out on a lot of things either. When you're locked into that working world, you really are locked in. And anyway, we'll go on later with some of that. Here her temptation to adultery flourishes. Ugh. Here is an artificial environment for sin to bloom. The men at work become her companions and a strong relationship develops. Of course it's going to. You're there with them more than you are with your husband. Most adultery follows this progression. You get talking in the workplace and there's an emotional sharing, so you have an emotional intimacy, then becomes the emotional infidelity, and you're not planning it, of course, never, but then the physical intimacy and the physical infidelity. Relationship adultery is the hardest adultery to break. Adultery takes place in all sorts of ways. And some are very adulterous relationship with someone that they haven't known for very long at all. All kinds of scenarios, but this is a long-term relationship. It might be you've known this man 10 years at work. It might be 5 years, it might be 20. You can imagine how hard it is for the wife to get this husband back or for him to get her back. She is now under another man's authority, jostled about going between her husband and this man. She, of course, is putting the man at risk as well. It's not all that it's cracked up to be, this working woman. I read an article of ladies in England, and they were not Christian ladies, and they really felt they'd been sold a wooden nickel, as they say in America, because they had really hoped that in their 20s and 30s, they were doing the greatest thing, you know, being the working woman, the superwoman, doing everything. But when they looked back, when they were older, they thought, oh, we've missed life. And they were really upset about it because it was like my tutor sister when I was nursing. She met me at the airport when we got back from the United States. We'd been Bible college students. Ian and I, as a married couple, and I said, oh, I remember you, because she tutored me when I was nursing, and because we did lecture, we learnt at the hospital, then did lectures and went on the ward and back and forwards, and I said, how are you doing? She said, oh, good. I said, yeah, you were my tutor sister, and she said, yeah. I said, she said, but you know what? And she volunteered it, and her face, I can still see it, her eyes were quite haunting. She said, you know, she said, it was all very well back then to have that career, but she said, my children grew up, my grandchildren grew up while I was doing all of that, and now it's not so easy to fit back into their lives. I thought, oh, the cost of it. And that's really what those ladies were saying in that English article. It's not all it's cracked up to be. You're teaching people or working with people that really, on the long term, aren't going to mean that much to you. That your own family, you know, your life can mock you later on, and you can have deep regrets, and it's, you know, it is too late. Hindsight's wonderful, but you can't get the time back. And so really, God's ways are good. You know, he's kind and he's loving, and you sure don't stop developing when you're at home. Women say, oh, fancy being cooped up at home like that. And it does sound bad. You think, that doesn't sound too good. But then I stop and think, well, hang on, I'd rather be cooped up at home than cooped up at the post office or Woolies or cooped up at the police station being a policewoman, or, you know, like, and there's good careers, I realise that, but when you're married, it changes and God wants it to change. And anyway, we'll move along. She causes her children to suffer. Number 5. Mary Eberstadt studies, found that 7 out of 10 women with children under 6 worked outside the home. That's a killer. Oh, you think of those little mites. That's a shocking statistic. I don't know what it is here in Australia. Proverbs 29:15 states, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." That's amazing too when you think about it. It actually gives a child wisdom, that. "But a child left to himself brings his mother to shame." You just can't leave little mites to themselves. Or to other people, they're not going to love them like you. And we cover this in the other session, of course, how to love your children. But I just want to make note here, women do not want to spend the greater part of the day diverting a small child, is what she states. And it is a discipline to do that. I mean, it's the place of a servant when you're running around after little children, meeting their needs and getting them a drink and taking them to the toilet and all of those things. The link between, though, and she goes on to say, and I'm just praising this, oh, by the way, I've got her, there's an appendix at the end of the notes here of her, of the greater part of her article that I'm just sort of quoting out of. "The link between problematic childhood and empty homes cannot possibly be dismissed as coincidence. The losses to working women have fallen disproportionately on the shoulders of children. Sexual abuse to children has increased by 350% since 1980. Now, of course, we've got a reporting system, I know, but even without excluding that, that's a huge jump. It was estimated that a child's time with parents at home had dropped by 43% between 1965 and 1980. In 1994, there were at least 4.5 million latchkey children in America. They let themselves in from school to an empty home. And I thought, I'm not going to go into all the things that go on in the home. When you read the articles, there's, of course, a greater volume of material than is in the appendix here. And see the things that take place, the internet, the unsupervised time. It's very serious. And some of the crimes being committed by young people, you look into their background, they've had huge amounts of time alone with a single parent. One of the lads that did the mass killing at one of the schools, his mother lived on the other side of the state. He was at home with his father and home alone a great deal of the time. He went on holidays with friends, he went to meals at friends, and he was the one that eventually shot 7 children at his school. It was mothers who leave their children because they are keepers at work cannot get this time back with their children and experience such deep regret and guilt very often later on. The consequences cannot be reversed apart from the wonderful grace of God. And thank goodness we have forgiveness in the Lord, and he can help us to retrieve those years the locusts have eaten, as the Bible says. That's not the exact rendition, but restores unto us the years the locusts have eaten. The next consequence is that she diminishes her role as grandmother. The generational support, as God intended it, is not there. The young mothers suffer as a result. Oh, if you're a young mother, and you can relate to this, I do feel for you, they can be robbed of the joy of their motherhood and experience anguish and loneliness. Apart from the fact if you say, I'm expecting my 4th, you get all sorts of wild comments. That can rob you of the joy of your motherhood. When the whole theme of Scripture is blessing, 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 is awful today. If you go, you know, people have a magical number, and if you go past that, you're going to get a dull response. But apart from that, they don't have the generational support, so they can't call on mum and grandma to help them out when they're in need. They've got morning sickness or whatever. 1 Timothy 1 states, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." These are the words, of course, concerning Timothy, Paul's speaking of Timothy. And you can see what the Lord's teaching is here, is that the grandmother and the mother obviously had a profound influence on Timothy. It's wonderful to have that, especially godly influence of a grandparent. And then, of course, she takes her sons and grandsons' jobs. I mean, take women out of the workforce right now. Where would the unemployment be? Shoo! It's just awful. You've got women, older women at work, and their boys are home on the dole, can't get a job. She causes her health to suffer. There's a physical deterioration quite often a mental deterioration. She can experience partial or complete breakdown. Because Mrs. Clever over here, she does everything, and this woman thinks, well, I should be able to as well, but she can't. And then often she has a poorer diet for herself and for her family, because it's hard to keep up the quality of food when you're rushing around like that. She isn't as available to church, family and friends, that's an obvious one. She is less able to be given to hospitality, family, church friends, missionaries. She cannot care for ageing parents as the need arises. That's a huge one, because parents can feel like, oh, I can't bother so-and-so, she's at work today. And, you know, it just spoils that God-given support system. She loses the ability to think creatively. She's too stretched. Boy, I get like that without the working, being in the workplace. And to cope with all of that, ooh. But it's just so wonderful when you have that lovely camaraderie of women when they're learning to do things like crafts, knitting, sewing, crocheting, etc. And you compare this with the Proverbs 31 woman. 7 times this passage mentions her working with her hands. And younger women often just are desperate to do some crafts, but they can't because they've got the little ones and they haven't anyone to mind them so they can get out there and learn those things. Or the older women aren't there to help teach those things. Because it's wonderful to have those skills, and especially for the mission field, if you go there. She develops covetousness. She becomes used to the extra money. She violates God's principles of finance by being provider or part provider, and closes the windows of heaven in some measure as a result. Now, in closing, as Christian women, how are our building materials looking in heaven? We forget the eternal perspective very often. We are very earthy and we get very busy down here, but eternity will reveal how we are actually living out our Christian lives here. And we'll read the passage here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. You can turn there, ladies. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. Paul speaking here. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So we've got a building going up here. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, this is the Lord, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Isn't it good of the Lord? He is going to reward us. We're not just going to heaven because we've trusted him as our sin bearer, taken the punishment of our sin upon him so that we can go to heaven, not through our own merits, but the Lord's. But how we live our Christian life here will be rewarded one day in heaven. And so we've got a picture here of building materials. Now, what is stockpiling up there for you and I? You know, when you think of it that way, are we in the wood, hay and stubble business, or is it lapidary where we've got gold, silver and precious stones that will, when tested by fire, will remain? And you don't think of it, do you? When you're changing nappies and doing those menial tasks, you don't think of that as actually being gold, silver and precious stones, but actually it is. Because if you are actually doing the will of God, that is going to be done, that is going to be to the heavenly account. And especially if we're doing it for the glory of God, with the right heart attitude, for the right reasons and all of that. We only have one life, and we must know what the scripture clearly teaches on the role of the woman, and especially that of the married woman. Will it be gold, silver and precious stones, or wood, hay and stubble? Will we or won't we blaspheme the word of God? Titus 2, when you look at it here, Titus 2 verse 5b says, at the end of this discourse, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So those verses leading up to that are saying, if this is fulfilled, then the word of God will not be blasphemed. You think, well, what does that mean? How would the word of God be blasphemed? Well, doesn't a divorce bring despite upon the Lord's name and the scriptures when a Christian couple divorces? When a Christian home that's proclaiming the name of Christ is chaotic, the children are chaotic, doesn't that blaspheme the word of God? It does. So really, blaspheme the word of God, it's very strong. Now, if we've been in error on this matter, the only answer is to repent and call on God's mercy for our wrong thinking and to reverse any damage done. God will forgive us and help us climb back into the biblical role of keepers at home. And as I've said on other sessions, really, it's not I but Christ. That is the only answer for any of us on any of these matters, on anything biblical. Not I but Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's just have a word of prayer now. Dear Father, we are a very bankrupt and desperate people, Lord, and we acknowledge this. We do ask your forgiveness, Lord, for the many ways that we are grieving you here. We're very much 21st century people, and we are just falling away from the scripture, line upon line, each year, Lord, just that bit more. Father, there's only one hope, and that is that you'll keep us refreshed by your Spirit, that you'll keep us, Lord, in your word and true to it, and that we will want to please you and love you and serve you and keep that eternal perspective. Help us, dear Lord, by your grace, to build gold, silver and precious stones in heaven, and that we will not blaspheme your word, dear Father, by our lives. We just thank you now. Amen.